Let's come to our God now in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we do give you thanks for the covenant that you have established with us and with our children. For as you have told us, the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are called far off, as many as the Lord will call to himself. And that promise you have not only signified and sealed with baptism, but Lord, you have shown that by perfecting your praise through the mouths of children that were able to sing together. And so putting to shame the wise of this world. Lord, may you continue to establish your saints in this faith throughout their lives. We pray that you would give the grace to inwardly digest the food that we're about to be given. And Lord, to instruct our children in your knowledge and fear until they have reached that complete maturity. Bless your word as it goes forth then, and bless your servant as well. Grant to us listening ears, we pray, and may your spirit guide us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at Lord's Day 1 this afternoon, so I invite you to turn there. And that's found at the back of the hymnal on page 872, Lord's Day 1. Very familiar words to us. Lord's Day 1, found on page 872 at the back of the hymnal. You've got two questions and answers there, dealing with our comfort, that asks that question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And it answers that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Question 2, how many things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? 3, first, how great my sin and misery are. 2, how I am delivered from all my sins and misery. And 3, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. That ends a reading of our confession of faith. We'll now read from Psalm 27, so I invite you to turn there now to Psalm 27, and we'll read the entire psalm. We see that in close relation to the theme of our comfort in life and in death. Psalm 27, that's found on page 633 of the Pew Bible, entitled A Psalm of David, sometimes referred to as a paradoxical psalm because it begins with such confidence in the Lord and then it ends on a prayer looking for God to help. And we'll see that the two sides of it in our reading, just pointing that out to you beforehand. So hear God's word from Psalm 27, beginning our reading at verse 1. And there it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that ends the reading of God's holy word. I encourage you again to have Psalm 27 open. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, does your house come with a security system? Sad to say, these are needed nowadays to keep out intruders and robbers from stealing your valuables. Security systems have that one function to make you feel safe from harm and loss. Our security system at our house is maybe a little bit more old-fashioned. She comes with 42 teeth, a loud bark, and a warning to intruders. And some of you have that as well. Well, security systems are not only sought after in homes and buildings, there are a lot of security systems that people look to in life, that you look to in life. For example, a lot of people find security in health and medicine, especially right now. Even though all the best healthcare in the world cannot save you. Or a lot of people put their trust in assets and investments. You track their growth and you dream of the good life, the way that they will provide for you. And yet, in your heart, you know that they won't. Or maybe your security system is in your relationships. You have sought to build around yourself a circle of people, your family. You find real comfort in their presence in your life and the love that they seem to have for you. You do everything you can to make those relationships healthy, and yet it doesn't provide ultimate health. And maybe you put your security in yourself. You're confident, successful, able to handle life and what it throws at you. You trust yourself. You've learned to trust your intuition and your instincts. And you've learned when to act fast and when to hold the cards until you make that one mistake. Well, David expressed confidence, but not because he was confident in himself or what he had. He was confident in the Lord. And that's what our theme and focus will be today as we consider that faith in Jesus Christ gives three things. First of all, confidence. Secondly, protection. And then thirdly, deliverance. So first of all, confidence. In the opening of the psalm is like that. As you noticed when we read it, it comes out in a rather bold way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And there are two images that are given there. One is the image of light and salvation, and the other one that is given is an image of a stronghold. Now, when we think of God, we must try to understand who he is and the way that the Bible describes him. And the best way of thinking about him is as light. God dwells in light unapproachable. The Bible gives this terminology in many places. Psalm 104 says that God wraps himself in light as with a garment. The Lord also turns our darkness into light. He shines his candle upon us, as the psalmist in another place, Psalm 36, verse 9, proclaims, "In your light we see light." But from what we see in all these Old Testament passages, there's no verse that says that God himself is light. So the clearest and best way to understand this wonderful word for the Lord is to go to the clearer passages, especially in the New Testament. And when we go there, the clearest name for light is the name for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John says, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." The true light that gives light to every man came into the world. John 1, the Gospel of John. John identifies this light to be none other than the Son of God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, what is that image supposed to mean for real life? Well, when we take David's words in context here, David is thinking about his enemies and he's seeking deliverance from them. Even in the darkest moments of his life, he has no fear. And he also sees that God is his salvation. He knows that he can face the terrible and fearful darkness because the Lord has saved him. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, we need to see that in the context of where we are today. There's a lot of darkness. We're surrounded by darkness. It's not only the darkness of the world and of our enemy Satan, it's the darkness of our own souls. It's the darkness that has come because of sin. Actually, none of us can survive without this light. None of us can survive without having that fellowship and being in that light. It's the light of heaven that not only keeps us alive, it gives us life. Jesus is the warmth for the coldness of death. He is the light that shines into the darkness of iniquity. He's the life and spiritual renewal for those in darkness. And it's because of his light, congregation, that you have life. Without him, you would be dead in sin. You'd be in the bitter cold of sin for months on end. You would be condemned. But now you have the light. The light has come as Christ came into the world. Reflect on that. And children and young people, don't run away from it. Don't run away from that light. Don't separate yourself from it. Make it your own today. And if it's not your own, make it your own. And say with David today that the Lord is my light and my salvation. For if the Spirit of Christ is living in us, he can give us this confidence. Our ultimate options are faith or fear. And when we face death, our final enemy, either we know that light, we know that living God, we know the living God, or we don't. We either believe in Lord's Day 1, don't. It was said of the atheist Bertrand Russell, when he was advanced in years, that he said, "The older I get, the more nervous I get." What a contrast that is to the life of the saints. You know, we think of many who've gone before us. Jonathan Edwards is an example, the 1700s pastor in New England. Just minutes before he died, Edwards looked about and he said, "Now, where is Jesus of Nazareth, my true and never-failing friend?" And he closed his eyes, and those who looked at his bedside thought he was gone. They were surprised when he opened his eyes suddenly and uttered a final statement: "Trust in God, and you need not fear." Now, is that the kind of confidence that you have today? Now, we may not always sense that, but the Lord will give us what we need when we come to that point in our lives. And when we call on His name, He will deliver us and be with us. Well, it leads us to a second point that we look at with this psalm, and that is protection. David goes on to say that the Lord is the strength of my life. And he adds, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" And that phrase, the strength of his life, is another beautiful image. It's military language. It meant that the Lord is the stronghold of his life. He's a refuge, a place of hiding, like a castle or a city with high walls, which is what we would expect from a man like David, who went through a lot of warfare. He was a man who fought a lot. A soldier of the Lord. Notice especially the words in verse 5. We actually sang that as well. The words in the common translation is, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." The Hebrew word there is soak, which means not just a pavilion or a shelter. It is used of a lair for a lion. And that enhances our understanding even greater. It brings out God's protection even more. If you think of the Lord in this imagery here of a lion and his servants being hidden away in his lair, well, what better protection? Who's going to mess with the Lord? Who's going to mess with the lion, right? And that brings it out even more when we see how the Lord will keep them secure in the protection and the safety of his tent. And not only this, he will set his servants high on a rock, far from the reaches of those wanting to besiege them. And so these images of a lair, of a tent, of a rock, they're piled on one another, and they complete the picture of total and complete safety, which is why verse 6 also speaks that way as well. It shows that total joyful and glad thanksgiving we experience when enjoying the Lord's protection. We all need a place to hide. Actually, we all look for places to run and to seek shelter. We do that because we experience battles in our lives because of the brokenness of this fallen world and sin. We face the devouring jaws of enemies, whoever those enemies might be. You might be attacked by someone because they've sinned against you. You might be dealing with the wounds and the hurts of others. Or perhaps you've just had a very hard day. Everything seems to have been against you. People have been hard to please. Everything at work has gone wrong. Your cell phone has quit. You went to fill up gas at the pump, but you found out that your credit card doesn't work because whatever reason, maybe someone stole your information, your credit card information, and you come home feeling like everything is against you, and you're discouraged. There are a host of things that we deal with every day. We live in a world that's filled with corruption in government, a world that's filled with thieves and liars, and whatever they do can alter our lives. There are earthquakes and tornadoes, diseases, death, sickness, and we're attacked by Satan. He's always trying to get at us and to discourage us in the faith, or he's trying to bring division in the church. There's also that assault of sin from our own sin nature. Temptation wears us down, and our flesh is against us. Every day of our lives here on this earth are filled with these things. I'm sure there's more that we have not even mentioned today. You know what they are. So, where do we go in a world like this? Where do we run to? Where are we going to hide in this sin-cursed and difficult place? Well, we might be tempted to run to other people, hoping that the companionship of others will be there to relieve our sorrows. We might come home at night and we plunk ourselves down on the lazy boy and switch off our brains with, you know, whatever streaming service we might have. Where to take off that edge of our weariness. We turn to our gadgets. We get lost in those. Somewhere lost in cyberspace. We can turn to food and drink to hide. But you see, these things are never going to be a refuge. You could be guaranteed that the most exciting and exhilarating movie is not going to be a place of refuge. These things are going to disappoint. They're always going to end up being addictive or quickly passing away. So where can you run to, congregation? Where can you turn to? Who is really a reliable defense in a broken and a hurtful world? Often when times like this come, we say, everything's against me. But it's only the Lord. He's the only one who gives strength when you're weary. He's able to renew your weariness. He's able to mend what is broken. He's a shelter when you're feeling raw and hurt. He's a safe place. He's your defense when you're being mistreated, when the wicked come to eat up your flesh, when your life is harsh. And not only that, he'll be your defense. He vindicates you. He protects you. You will be able to hide under the shadow of his wing. That's a wonderful promise for us today. There's a story about Martin Luther when he was making his way to a city called Worms in Germany. And his friend Spalatin heard about it and that there were the enemies of the Reformation coming to attack him along the way. And he was afraid for Luther's life, and he sent a messenger to warn him not to enter into the city of Worms. But Luther replied by saying, "Go and tell your master that even if all the devils of Worms were tiles on the rooftops, still I will enter." He put his trust in the Lord. He didn't fear anything. This week, you're going to look for refuge. You're going to look for a stronghold. You're going to look for a place to hold your life. Make sure that you run to the Lord and hide in Him every day. Make the Savior your refuge. David was confident that the Lord was a resting place. And in the same way, so you can find the Lord as a resting place. So that's what we learn here from David's firm faith, that he found his protection by resting firmly in the Lord. I would want to consider one other thought from this psalm, and that is deliverance. Deliverance. As David opens this prayer up, beginning in verse 7 and downwards, we see his prayer there. And one thing that's very clear, David needs the Lord. And he's well acquainted with the Lord. We see that in several ways. David begins with this deep-rooted prayer. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. We might wonder how it is that the Lord can hear our voices in prayer. How is it that the Lord would want to hear us? When we're sinful, why would he want to hear us? We struggle with that desire of our hearts. We wander again and again. We live contrary to what we're supposed to in the way we're supposed to live. And sadly, we need God's forgiveness and grace. We don't deserve it, but that's what we need. Well, that's exactly why David appeals to the Lord in prayer. He's praying here for mercy. He can't look to himself and find grace. He needs God. And he prays. Why? Because God will hear his voice. God in his all-powerful character gives grace to undeserving sinners. Prayer is a way of connecting us with the one who hears. The Lord answers because of who he is. He answers because he loves to see us come, and he loves to provide grace for our every moment. So David, therefore, prays with that kind of a conviction. And he's actually talking to himself here in verse 8 when he says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. He's talking to himself in the midst of his trouble. He's giving himself this counsel to his heart. And that's something that we all do. We all talk to ourselves. Maybe not out loud, but we have that inner voice, or we speak to ourselves. You know, you can organize your day by saying within yourself, I've got to get this done and that done. Or you talk to yourself and you say, why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling down? Why am I feeling happy? Perhaps you're filled with angst. You're upset with someone or upset with someone at work. And you keep thinking about it and replaying their words over and over in your mind. The point is, we are constantly in a conversation with ourselves, telling ourselves what we must do and what we allow ourselves to say and think and do. And in a sense, this afternoon, we're eavesdropping into David's own mind. He's telling himself to pray. So he prays to God that God will not hide his face from him and turn his servant away in anger. He cries, do not leave me, nor forsake me, O God, of my salvation. And then he encourages himself with those wonderful words, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. What a wonderful assurance that is for every child of God who calls on him for help, that they will never see the backside of God's head. The Lord will never hide his face from them. He will never turn his back on them. There might be people in our lives who reject us or forsake us, but one of the most amazing gifts is that the chosen have been blessed with his face shining on them. So the question this afternoon is, do you see yourself as people in need of help? Do you tell yourself you need God's mercy? Do you talk to yourself and tell yourself that you must seek God's face? Do you live in a sense of your own emptiness and your own lack of righteousness and your need to be filled with the grace of God? One of the sad results of sin is that it makes us all think that we don't need God. That we don't need to spend time with God. That we can live our day without Him. That's the kind of independence that the old serpent sold Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But it's a lie. The lie was you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. You belong to yourself. You don't need to listen to God. You can be wiser and better. And it's still the lie that so often gets swallowed. We still fall for that lie. But the message here of Psalm 27 and the rest of the Bible is very clear. The message is we're people who are in desperate need of help. And if you walk with God even for 90 years, you will continue to need His help as much as you did at the beginning. You need Him. You need to be acquainted with Him. You need to be praying. So how about you? Does your devotion life depict a person who sees himself in need? Are you acquainted with the Lord? Do you talk to yourself and say to your heart, "Your face, Lord, I seek"? You know, that time with God is neglected. We use busyness. The busyness of life. That's our excuse. We push God away. We say, "No, we're too busy." But we need to be acquainted with Him. For look at the kind of God He is. Is God ever too busy to listen to you? When you speak to Him? So why not speak more regularly? The reason is not because God's too busy. It's because we're too busy. Or perhaps we wonder why God would ever want to hear us when we're not faithful to Him and when we sin. Well, consider here the faithfulness of the Lord. Father and mother forsake us. God does not refuse us. How thankful we can be that we will not see the backside of His head. We'll see His face. So why should God hear our voices? Why will He not reject us? Why is it that we can be so blessed? It's because in the most painful moment of history, instead of rejecting us, the Father turned His back on His Son, His only begotten Son. As Jesus took on our sin and He allowed Himself to be rejected. Jesus was willing to suffer the rejection of His Father so that you and I should never have to go through that ourselves. And if Jesus went through this for us, then certainly we're being exhorted and reminded this day to know God and to turn to Him and to seek His face. You need to be acquainted with your God, congregation. For that's what David's prayer teaches us. May it be our prayer as well. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank You for the exhortations of Your word. We thank You for this psalm, which has so much to say to us. And we thank You for the confession that we're able to make this afternoon. May that be a true confession from our own hearts, O Lord, that we belong to You, in body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, grant to us confidence. Grant to us your protection. And grant to us your deliverance. In his name we pray. Amen.